Thank you. I'm so fortunate, aren't I? But we're so glad to be here, and thank you, pastors. It's been great. You're such wonderful friends, and we appreciate what you've done in bringing us. We're honored to be here, and that gracious introduction, I just, so, you know, it's more than what we deserve, and so thank you for that introduction, too. But we love this house, and we want to be friends for a long time with you. We'll just carry you in our hearts and pray for you and keep up with you. But last night, as I'm really an intercessor, so I think that's why I get the dreams, because I'm an intercessor. Don't want to waste the night. I want to pray all night and just hear the Lord during the night season. So he speaks, and I saw a wonderful memorial that you've built here to the Lord, and he's just so pleased with what you've done and how you've sown seed to the nations. And but I just heard the Lord say he has more for you. That's just the beginning of what he has. And I saw a ministry open up to you, a benevolence ministry just being turned over to you because of your faithfulness to him. And also I saw you seeding to a ministry that has a ministry to children with special needs, not just what you think of special needs, some without arms and legs. And so God's going to do much more than you've ever dreamed or imagined out of this congregation. And we are so glad to be here this morning to see what he's doing. And so excited about 2010 for you. So God bless you. Thank you for inviting us here. We'll just keep praying for those things to come to pass this year. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we're going to pray for my husband. Let's just all pray together and bless the word as it comes forth. Lord, we thank you, Father, for what you have for us this morning, Lord. Excite our hearts about prayer, Lord Jesus. Stir us up. Use the words that you put in his heart and in his mouth today, Lord Jesus, to break us wide open for you, Lord. Bless it, the word that you have in Jesus' name. Amen.
All righty. Open your Bible to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. 242. After the facts of the gospel, you have the acts of the apostle. Acts of the Holy Spirit. He's going to lay the acts to the root of every false doctrine and false teaching and religious structure that doesn't want to bow before the authority of Jesus. I believe that Acts 29 is coming. Acts 2.0 is available for instant download. God wants to restore the book of Acts, add the book of Exodus, multiply it times 10, and release it to you this year. This is a year of signs and wonders. The heavens are going to begin to testify of the glory of God. It'll be a time of faith, where great faith is going to rise up. You're birthed to be an overcomer. And the only problem with being an overcomer is you have to overcome. But you're going to overcome. Things that you struggled with in 2009, you will not face those enemies again in 2010. God is going to be the victory that you've been searching for. And I believe I may, just may, have some secrets for you individually and as a church family that will catapult you into this season of victory in 2010. So I hope you'll listen good, and if I say something good, I may even take notes. So if you see me taking notes, you missed a good time to write something down. All right, Acts 2:42, the early church, they devoted themselves steadfastly. They steadfastly persevered, devoting themselves constantly to the instruction and the fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Today, I want to share with you about that last word, prayers, plural. I chose the Amplified Version because it brings out the accurate Greek text, which in the Greek language, the word is actually plural. Not just prayer, but prayers. How many of you know there's all kinds of ways of prayer? Your way is good, but don't you criticize my way, because I pray different than you do. And I'm sure the person next to you probably prays differently than you do. But by the way, you know what the definition of a prayer warrior is, right? The definition of a prayer warrior is the mother of a teenager. That is a prayer warrior. Father of a teen. as your child drives off in your car the first time and your insurance rates soar to the skies, you become a prayer warrior. All right, let's devote ourselves in 2010 to become a house of prayer for all nations. God is giving me this word. I've sought the Lord for you. I've asked him for specific revelation for this church. And God speaks, man. He really does. Just get over it. He speaks. You know, he's not mute. He's not an idol. He says a lot to you and I. He has a lot to say to those that will listen. And I believe that 2010 is going to be a year where each believer in this house establishes within their soul an altar of prayer. That this is the year of transitioning prayer models, and revelation of prayer is going to be upgraded and go into new levels. On the Day of Atonement, 2,000 years ago, the golden altar of incense transitioned into the Holy of Holies. And the prayer ministry is now next to the Ark of Covenant. Prior to that day when Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead, the veil was torn. Prior to that day, there was a veil separating the Holy of Holies from the holy place. Now there is no veil. Thus, the altar of incense, the golden altar of incense, which is an emblem of prayer, now remains in the Holy of Holies. You're never closer to God than when you pray. You're never more like Jesus than when you pray. Tell the person next to you, you're going to pray different before this year's over. Go ahead and tell them, even if you don't like them, tell them. You're going to pray differently this year. So for everyone who's stuck in your prayer life or has yet to develop a prayer life or wants and longs for more of the spirit of prayer in your life, please go with me now as I take you through the 7 categories of prayer. Some of these you are doing really well at. Some of these will describe your life. It will describe who you are. But there may be a few of these 7 categories that you need to step into. So may the Lord give you direction in that. First of all, the very basic, beautiful form of prayer that I want to begin with is praise. It's something everybody can do and everybody ought to do, and that's just praise the Lord. You know, I don't care what your 09 looked like, you still need to praise God. Say, but you don't know, Pastor Brian, what I've gone through. No, I don't know, but you don't know what I've gone through. And I'm telling you, to praise the Lord is the key. It's the secret. When you don't know where God is and you can't find God in your mess, praise him and he will show up. It's his address. It is the way you enter into his courts. You come inside those gates. You encounter the living God when you learn to praise him. Oh, I'm going to sing here, Nick. I'm just going to start, playing my 10-string instrument here in a moment. I'm telling you, just to learn to praise him, just to lift your hands or move your feet. You know, I kind of enjoyed, you know, being a pastor there. I'm not pastoring anymore at this point in my life, this stage in our life. I'm a full-time dad and encourager and teacher and itinerant speaker in the body of Christ. But I enjoyed being a pastor because I would take my mornings, every morning, Pastor Glenn, I wouldn't come in the office. I told my staff, you won't see me in the mornings. I am going to give my mornings to Jesus, and I would pray. And it was so cool back when my wife was working at Yale. I would, you know, when she left to work, I would crank my, wasn't a boombox, man. It was like stereo, surround sound, everything. I would crank it up to where you probably wouldn't like it, and I would just get down and praise him. Not every day, but I did that a time or two. And then one morning, my wife forgot something and came in and busted me and caught me doing my David dance thing in my pajamas in the living room. I said, well, okay, maybe I'll just crank it down. Well, it's okay to be a passionate praiser. Nothing wrong with you. A little bit more praise wouldn't cure. You just, you know, listen, you've been negative so long. Don't you think it's about time you realize that God is still happy. He's still on the throne. It's going to work out. You're alive and well on planet Earth. You got people around you that care about you. Listen, it's only going to get better for the child of God. That ought to make you just praise him. Go ahead and give it up right now for the God who gave it away for you. Jesus, we love you. Oh, to be thankful, to praise him. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, apostolic wisdom from Paul says, don't worry about anything. Amen. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, and it exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. How you doing in your praise life? Are you doing okay? Get ready to praise more in 2010 than you ever have before. You know, the first tribe, when the cloud of glory lifted and Israel had to pack up, don't you hate moving? And the cloud would lift and move, the very first tribe that had to march out was Judah. Judah. That's the name for praise. There's a Hebrew word for praise. There was a tribe called praise. 1/12 of your life ought to be spent in praise. Where's my pen? That's a good one. I really like that. Yeah, me too. It's really cool when you have a split personality. You can really enjoy these things. All right, let's take the second category aspect of prayer. Since you've got a PhD in praise, let's go to the next one. How you doing in the realm of confession? How you doing in getting gut level real with God? You know, the Catholics have it right and they have it wrong. We got to confess, but not to a priest in a booth, but to the high priest, the man of glory, Jesus Christ. We, by the Spirit, go directly. We have access by the blood. We come right in anytime, night or day. You know, it's a wasted day. You lay your head on your pillow. You don't meditate in your heart and pray and even confess at times. God, in the musing of my heart, I know that I missed you from time to time today. Forgive me, heal me, touch me, bless me, visit me tonight in my dream. Confession is so important, beloved. Get ready to hear more confession of people's sins, addiction, brokenness, issues than you've ever heard before. I've seen a move of God 3 times in my life. I'm talking about a powerful move of God that explodes once in the jungle, once in Florida, and once here in Connecticut. And I can tell you that every time it was triggered by confession of sin. I had a light show up in a service. I probably was the only one that saw it. But I saw a light probably about 3 times bigger than that stained glass circle there. Stood right behind me. And it started blasting me so powerful. And I was going to end the service. And one of the elders' wives began to tremble and shake like I'd never seen before. And she stood up and said, "The Holy Spirit is here. You can't end the service. God is breaking into this meeting." And as soon as she said that, and I said, "Holy Spirit, come and have your way in this service," people ran down here and began to confess their sins to God. We had a six-hour meeting. I mean, what's going to keep a person 6 hours in church other than God? You know, God is the only one that could keep a teenager in church 6 hours. Or, you know, a bipolar person like you or me that's going to keep him out. I'm not bipolar, but I'm just saying that. God spoke and people began to confess their sin. And I handed the microphone. We went right down the line. And you say, "Well, you shouldn't be doing that in church." Oh, yeah. The more we confess sin, the more we dealt with it. Bible says, "Confess your faults one to another so that you may be healed." There's a healing coming to the body of Christ in America that will only come when we become those who confess our sins one to another. We get so real and honest. Can you imagine that level of honesty in the body of Christ? People are craving it. They're longing for it. The day's going to come when tears are going to flow in the house of God. God is going to manifest his glory. Maybe today, maybe right here before the meeting's over. Wouldn't that be awesome, kids, if the glory of God came into the meeting right now? Bam! I mean, it's better than Avatar. Glory. I want it. So at the count of three, everybody confess. No, we won't do that. But Micah 7 says, "Our God, no one is like you." Listen, if you'll get this scripture in your heart, you'll understand why it's good to confess to God. "No one is like you. You freely forgive our sin and our guilt. You don't stay angry forever. You're glad to have pity, and you're pleased to be merciful. You will trample on our sins and throw them in the sea." That's what God will do when you're honest with him. As you tell him your faults, your failures, your foibles, your filth, your sin, whatever issue, whatever wicked way, whatever crooked path in you that is leading you astray, like alignment on a car when you let go of the wheel, it always heads for a ditch. Whatever is out of alignment in your life, if you'll confess it and say, God, create in me a clean heart. You see, for some of us, you're never going to have a clean heart except God creates it. So create in me a clean heart, O God. Lead me in the ways everlasting. If you see a crooked way in me, then I'm going to give it to you. Cleanse me of my sins, O God. Psalm 51, Psalm 32, they're going to come back in fashion in 2010. Let's take the third aspect of becoming an altar of prayer. As you become the golden altar of incense here where Connecticut and New York join, God is going to increase this area of asking, just simply asking God. It's a simple prayer. God, help me. Do this, do that. Come on, you've done it at Christmas for a parking place. Can't you do it for the big stuff? Oh, I love that he does really, that really does work. You know, you make a lot of people mad when you zoom in and say, oh, God gave me that one. You got three ladies over here making pretty funny noises at you because of that. But hey, God gave it to you, right? Well, just ask, search, and knock. The Bible says in Matthew 7, it's Jesus speaking, ask, God will give it to you. Search, you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. Beloved, do you understand how powerful this promise is? A-S-K, ask, seek, knock, ask. If you'll just ask, God will fulfill. God will answer prayer. There was a great man of God generations past. His name was George Mueller, and he started orphanages in England, and he fed literally thousands of young children, homeless street kids who had no family, orphans. He fed them for a lifetime. He would feed the orphans, and he did it by prayer because he did not have the substance and the finances to do so. It was said at times he would gather the children around their big kitchen table, and they would join hands and pray over their meal, except there was no food on the table. And they would pray, and the kids would say, but Pastor George, where is the food? And he said, God will supply. Jehovah Jireh, let's pray. And as they thank God for the food, they'd hear knocks on the door, and a bakery carriage would come and bring fresh baked bread, and the milkman would come, deliver milk and vegetables, and food would come. God would touch people's lives because they prayed. When he died, they got his prayer journal, and they read it through. And it was over 10,000 recorded instances that he had written, handwritten in his journal of prayers God had answered. Like, this day I prayed for this, and that happened. What a godly man of prayer he was. He asked, he asked, he asked, and he received, he received, he received. Enter into that realm in 2010. So how's your ASK coming? How are you doing in that realm of prayer? Shall we do the fourth? Let's go to number four. Fourth is intercession. This is a very popular, trendy form of prayer. A friend of mine, Dutch Sheets, has written some great books on this, and we've had him in our church a few times, and there's prayer ministries around the country. Had the privilege of walking with my friend Lou Engel, and the way he prays, you know. And of course, you got the 24/7 IHOP and WeHop there in Kansas City, and you know, the Spirit of the Lord's breaking out in places where there's prayer going on. And it's just important that we develop a culture of intercession. And I'm thankful to be in a church today that has an active, vibrant, thriving prayer ministry. And those of you that are praying saints and the warring women and the champion men, that you keep praying and don't stop and keep pressing the boundaries, pushing the perimeters of praise and power and prayer until God shows up. God wants to make this a revival center, an apostolic center here for New York. You're going to be feeding the big apple. You're going to take a bite out of it before long. Glory's going to come into this house, and you're going to touch NYC with the glory of God. I'm telling you, beloved, it's going to happen. This Easter, you're going to have a move of the Spirit on Easter Sunday that's going to birth something powerful. Get ready that Easter as you pack every service out. Watch the glory of God come. You're going to be pushed into a new building because of desperation, not just because, well, wouldn't it be nice to have a building? No, you're going to do it because of desperation. You're going to have to have it. I've had visions. I've seen churches like this having 2-hour shifts where night and day, not every night, but every day, in 2-hour shifts, you had services like Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. Go figure. Glory of God is going to hover over. Listen, the epicenter, the Bible Belt's moving north, folks. The epicenter of the Great Awakening is going to be right here in this region. Connecticut is in line, and New York, upstate, Hudson Valley, and of course the boroughs. There's going to be a great and mighty awakening. I don't even need you to believe me. I have enough faith for all of you. Every faithless person, take some of mine, because I see it. It's coming. A great awakening is coming to this region. God is going to do it. And it's always birthed in prayer. Simeon and Anna birthed the awakening of Christ's coming. The upper room, the 10-day nonstop prayer meeting, 10 days, 2010, come on. The nonstop prayer meeting birthed something powerful. Get ready for a wave of intercession to sweep over the church. 1 Timothy, I urge you, first of all, I urge you, beloved, first of all, prayers, requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, even the people you don't like, even Republicans. You know, you pray for everybody. Oh, let's kill some sacred cows and make holy hamburger. I've been saying for years, forget about who's in the White House. It's who's in God's house. You have an authority. You transcend political power when you connect with eternity. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And you watch what God does in the political structures. And I'm telling you, God's greatest, glorious days of awakening are coming to America. The Western church is going to be awakened. A great end-time mission movement is going to emerge. And where's the young guy that got commissioned today or released today? You're going to be a part of that, bro. God's going to heal you physically, something's going to be happening soon in your family that's going to just make you marvel. Faith is going to come to a new level. You're going to be touching hip-hop kids like you never thought you could. You're going to cross some, yo, bro, you're going to cross some areas where you didn't think you could do it, and the anointing is going to come on you for that kind of stuff. And you really are a forerunner. You really are a picture of a vanguard of new breed, third-day millennial warriors that are coming forth. So go for it, man. Put me on the mailing list. Intercession. Let's take warfare. Real quick, warfare. Oh, boy, don't you hate that one. A warfare prayer. Who wants that? You know, who wants to wrestle with beasts at Ephesus? You know, who wants to tackle some of that stuff? You know, my wife and I lived in the jungle, really. Actual, like, rainforest cafe jungle. You know, we were there with the lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, and for 8 years we drank river water and ate bananas and rice and bananas and lived in the tropical heat without Diet Coke and without AC or anything except Jesus. And we learned that if we were going to survive and expand the kingdom, we're going to have to learn to pray some warfare prayer. One day, our daughter Joyce, at 7 years of age, with a bunch of other kids from the tribe, she decided to climb a tree. They saw some fruit up in the tree, and she climbed the tree, put her foot down on the branch of a tree, right on the back of a snake. This 5-foot-long bushmaster snake latched onto her ankle, filled her with venom. And as they carried her over to our hut, as you know, about halfway between me and the back door there, I saw her coming, and they were holding her, and there were these two red squirts coming out of her ankle where the fangs of that serpent had latched onto her. She was just bleeding, you know, and we scooped her in our arms and brought her into our hut and put her in our bed there, and we just began to pray for her. Lord, just we prayed for joy. And as I prayed intensely, I don't tell this story very often, but I'm going to tell it. As I prayed over her, underneath the bed, tens of thousands of stinging ants suddenly came out of the underneath and began to just crawl up our legs and sting us. It was unbelievable. It was like Lucas and Spielberg type stuff. It was just weird, you know. Stephen, I don't know who it was, but so we put her in another room in our hut, and I took her over there and began to pray. And as I began to pray and get more intense in praying for her, hornets materialized, stinging hornets in that room, and began to sting me and come against me. And I knew right then, you know, that, you know, I think there's a demonic realm. This may be, you know, snake, stinging ants, stinging hornets. This may be warfare, spiritual witchcraft coming against us. So I did what any dad would do. I freaked. And I thankfully had memorized 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's a Bible verse that we had to memorize in Bible college. And it says, God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tested beyond what you can endure. But he will, with that test, he will provide a way of escape so that you can bear up under it. So here's what I did. I said, God, I cannot take this anymore. Your word says, and I said this out loud, I quoted 1 Corinthians 10:13 to God. I wasn't talking to any demon. I was talking to God Almighty. I said, God, you promised me in your word you would not let me be tested beyond what I can endure, and I'm like red line, I can't take anymore. The hornets disappeared. Everything calmed down. I was ready then and able to pray over our daughter Joy. And slipping in and out of a coma, she began to hemorrhage. Soft tissue of her body began to bleed from eyes, ears, nose, mouth. It was just bizarre. It's part of what the venom does when you're bitten by this snake. And within a few hours, we heard the sound, as the morning dawned, we heard the sound of our Cessna 185. Out in the jungle, you can hear all kinds of stuff. You could hear a plane from a long ways. And our 1,200-foot grass airstrip that we cut out in the jungle, and our pilot got out of the plane, Cessna 185, and he said, I was in the area, and I felt like I was to stop. I was flying, and God spoke to me about coming here. I said, Phil, we got to get my daughter. She was just bitten by a snake. We need to get her to the city. We flew her the two-hour flight over the jungle into a modern hospital. We're able to get her treated. And you know, the cool thing is she's alive and well. You want to know what she's doing right now? Our 7-year-old daughter, she grew up and married our executive pastor. And she and her husband now pastor Gateway. They now lead our church. We just gave it over to them in May, and we're full-time now on the road. And Joy is such a beautiful girl, and Jennifer Aniston look-alike, and her husband Todd, and they're the senior pastors. They're going to do great things in our church and in our region. But God healed her. Is anybody happy for me and for my daughter today that God heard our prayer? There are some things that won't lift from your life until you take prayer to the next level. Get an upgrade. You're on Windows ME, you know, TriVista, at least XP, but do something. It ain't going to work on the old operating system. Get a prayer upgrade and watch God work. Okay, I'm going to skip the verse and go to number six, I'm sorry. Devotional prayer. We're about done. We should be finished by dark. I want to share about devotional prayer. There is a realm in this. This is my favorite, by the way, because I'm a lover of God, just like you are. By the way, you know Theophilus, the book of Luke and the book of Acts was written to a dude named Theophilus. Well, historians have researched out and discovered there was no Theophilus. The word Theophilus means lover of God. I write unto you, most excellent lover of God. It's you and me. We're the Theophilus. Any lovers of God here? Anybody love God more than TV? More than we? You know, to be a lover of God, that's what you're destined for. To every macho male in this room, listen to me, bro. You're destined to be a lover of God. Your heart's going to melt in ways you never thought it would in 2010. God's going to break and bust you open in a good way. Locked up chambers of your heart because of an absent father or an abusive father or issues of upbringing or whatever. God is going to heal the male psyche, the hearts of men in 2010. God's going to touch the men in 2010. I say, it's about time, God. Get a hold of them. Everybody knows some of God's greatest men are women. So it's time for the men to be raised up. That's the truth, you know. You want to get something really done right in church, Denise, what do? You ask a woman. Start with the pastor's wife, and then you go down the line from there. Anybody that has any brain in their head knows that. But God is going to get a hold of the alpha dog males in 2010. Hoorah. He's going to get a hold of us, and that issues of our life are going to, we're going to melt. The pride of our life is going to melt like wax. The mountain of pride is going to come down this year. We don't need to feminize the men. We need to spiritualize the men in our church. And I think the best way to do that is devotional prayer, to teach men to lock themselves in with God until something burns, until the smoke rises off the altar of our heart, till something good comes. So I've determined to be devotionally committed to Christ in 2010 in prayer. We're going to pray that over you in just a moment, that you will have the fire of God on the altar of your heart burning. Can I tell you what has helped me and unlocked my heart more than anything else in life? It's been a study of the Song of Songs. Now, the Song of Songs is not a book about romance and erotica. You need that. Go talk to Dr. Ruth. It's not in the book, guys. The Bible, the Song of Songs, it is full of a revelation of the divine intimacy of Christ's bride. The fiancé of Jesus is sitting in this room right now. The bride of Christ. And if every pastor would treat the church as though it were somebody else's wife, you'd treat her with respect and honor. We don't put guilt trips, you know, cancel your orbits trip, you know. Instead of guilt, we put into the heart of the church the intimate longing and loving desires of our spirit seeking out for God. A devotional prayer life will set you free. So the Song of Songs, let's look at this crazy verse in the Song of Songs. Really amazing. And by the way, I've written a book on the Song of Songs. I think they're all sold out, but you can Facebook me or get on our webpage or whatever. And I think you can get it Amazon or eBay or whatever. But this, the Song of Songs, the revelation of the bride, the Shulamite bride, and the King of Glory, that divine romance has just set my soul free. I just picked one verse to share with you today. Get up, my fair and beautiful lover. Come to me. Come, my shy and modest dove. Leave your seclusion. Come out in the open. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. Can you imagine Jesus saying this to you? For your voice is soothing and your face is ravishing. Let me see your face. How many times have we said to God, Lord, I want to see your face. I know I can make it if you'll just show me your face. God, I can get through this thing if you'll just show me your face, Lord. And the Lord says, no, I want to see your face. And like the Apostle Paul, his name once was Saul, you know, and he was on his high horse riding to Damascus, and that's where you are too, but God is going to Damascus. He has us on the road to Damascus. He's going to unveil our face. The Bible says he's not a respecter of persons. In Romans 2:11 and other places in the New Testament, it says God is not a respecter of persons, but the Greek text is not persons. The Greek text, the word for person is actually mask. He's not a respecter of your mask. Aren't you glad? So he says, I'm going to put you on the road to Damascus. The de-selfing of the church has begun. And the Lord is going to bring us to this fiery, scary place of more of God than you can handle in this year. I mean, scary intimacy and fiery presence. You're going to live in that land somewhere between too much and not enough. Too much, not enough. Right in between there, in the thin place, you're going to live burning for God as a flame of fire. The altar in your heart is going to burn bright in 2010. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is soothing. Can you imagine you have the ability to bring pleasure to God? You are not God's project. You're his partner. You're his look-alike bride. You are fully, completely his personality type. God could not have made a person that enthralls him more than you. You have the divine ability to move the heart of God, to overcome him. In the Song of Songs, he actually says, turn your eyes from me. They overwhelm me. They conquer me. You've conquered my heart, my sister, my bride. You've overwhelmed me. You've ravished my heart. Can you imagine Jesus telling you, I can't take your love and your prayers and your devotion. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to come down and bring glory to the earth. Don't rob from Jesus what pleases him the most. Don't take from the heart of Jesus what brings the most pleasure to him. Why would you withhold from the one you love what thrills him the most? If my wife wants something, excuse me, bros, I'm going to give it to her. She knows that. I'm thankful that she knows credit limit maxes on credit cards. But you know, also if she wants something, I'm going to give it to her. Why? I'm in love with this woman. You can't have her. She belongs to the mall. I mean, she belongs to me and Jesus. Well, then why would we withhold from, you know, I'm a puny man, and yet I care that deeply about her. Why would we withhold from the one who bled for us, who opened his palm and took a nail for me? Why would I withhold from him what he freely opened up to give to me? The blood of the cross can only be matched by a pleasure-filled heart of devotion, giving it back to him. It's a reward of his suffering. So he says, your voice is soothing. That's your prayer life. Your face is ravishing. That's your worship. So let's have fun before I go on. Tell the person next to you, your voice is soothing and your face is ravishing. Tell that person. They need to hear that. Quit kissing that. I didn't tell you to kiss that person. Oh, I'm telling you. We need to get a little lovey-dovey in the house of God. I mean, we can go out and do the Braveheart thing, but we need to have this passionate, love-filled pocket of our heart that belongs to one, the Garden of Eden within us that is his sacred chamber. Well, let me take you to the last one, corporate prayer. I'm really just about done. I'll race through this because I'm getting hungry. I've worked harder than you have today. This is like, you know. Okay. Corporate prayer. Corporate prayer. You know what that is. That's not like boardroom prayer. Corporate prayer. I don't know why we called it corporate. It's like prayer gathering, I think, is probably a better term to use. You know, Joel calls it the solemn assembly. And coming together, a priest weeping between the porch and the altar. It's men and women that come to pray and intercede. There are things that you'll never get from God on your couch in your living room. I mean, I'm all for house groups and house churches. I've started hundreds of them, you know, literally. All for doing all that. But there's a peace of God you'll never see until you come into a corporate or a gathering like this church service today. This is why don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together in the last days. So much the more, it says, as the days of evil are approaching, we need to gather our souls together and pray and believe and fast and intercede. So these corporate gatherings have a great function and a great role in the body of Christ, where we are refreshed, where life-giving prayer, powerful prayer is released to the church. Acts 3, verse 1, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock daily prayer meeting. Wouldn't it be great that we have regular seasons of prayer? You know, we have the discipline of prayer that is actively engaged upon in our church family and in our homes. So it's important. The family that prays together stays together. So the 4 extraordinary times of prayer in the early church, Acts 1, you have revival released through prayer, a prayer gathering of 120 men and women who would not leave until the glory came for 10 days, nonstop, 24/7, times 10, they prayed. And you know the story. The upper room was filled with a mighty rushing wind, and the birthday candles came upon the birthing of the church, and the birthday candles landed on the heads of 120. It was like the pillar of fire in the book of Exodus showed up in the upper room, split into 120 pieces. And then the wind of the Holy Spirit couldn't blow that fire out, just blew it into a blaze. The crackling fire of God rose up, and the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit grew within them, and they began to prophesy and speak in tongues. Revival, release through prayer. You can go ahead, Nick. I enjoy, the Michael Bublé stuff in the background. I like that. He looks like Michael Bublé, too, doesn't he? All right. Acts 2, revival sustained through prayer. You got to keep praying. They devoted themselves to prayer. Acts 10, revival is extended through prayer, if you're taking notes. And then Acts 12, revival breaks opposition through prayer. And I got to give you, as we really conclude, I'm like a good realtor, I have a lot of closings. But in the real closing, everybody in Bible college, we knew when the teacher closed his Bible that we were waiting for the time. Okay, he's done. Whew. In closing, the greatest lesson I've learned on prayer. Here's the secret, 38 years of trying to be prayer on two legs. Here's what I've learned more than anything else about prayer. Take this with you, folks. Jesus is my prayer life. Jesus is my prayer life. He's my magnificent intercessor. He prays in heaven for me. He is my prayer model. He is the one I connect to. He's the one I love. Jesus is my prayer life. Do you love him today? Would you like to be like more like Jesus? If you'd like to be more like Jesus, stand up and let's just pray real quick for you. Thank you, God. Would you put your hand over your heart and let's pray this prayer out loud together. Just say it together. Lord Jesus, you are my prayer life. Put a coal of fire inside of me. Release it from heaven, from the altar of God to the altar of my heart. Release the flame divine. Help me to become your prayer partner. I give myself to you to learn secrets of prayer like never before, until two have become one. I am yours. You are mine. I am yours. You are mine. So in the name of Jesus Christ, exalted in the heavens, before whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord, in the name of the ascended Christ, wearing crowns of glory, encircled with great authority, in that name, I decree over you a year of breakthrough. You will win in 2010. You will come in to new levels. You will rise and not fall. You will increase. Finances will be multiplied as your faith grows. More will be given to you. Great opportunities stand before you as I give to you an open door, says the Lord. I'm going to light a prayer furnace in this church, says the Lord. You will become known in this region and even other nations as an apostolic center, as a sending center, where people come to be filled with glory and go out to dispense it to the nations. I'm about to multiply you, says the Lord. I am going to increase you. I am going to increase your favor and your influence, even into Manhattan. And your sons and daughters will come from afar. Even wayward ones, even prayers you have stopped praying, I will answer. I will remember the tears, the prayers, for they have pierced my heart, and I will answer them. Miracles I release to you in 2010. You receive it, folks. You receive that word today. Put your hands together and give Him praise with you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, how many people are going up to a new level in 2010? I'm going. You coming with me? Hallelujah. Let's give thanks to the Lord for Pastor Brian and Candace and the ministry that they brought to us today.